I was just speaking on the subject of Satsang. Joining the Holy Congregation of the Saints, it is a school in which you are not only taught but give this demonstration of the God within you. Any subject that you have learned further, from you want education, outdoor education, you have to go to a school or a college. You want to learn about your physical body, how it works, how it is retarded, and how that can be resumed to normal working. You will have to go to a school where the subject of mind body is taught, how it is, can be developed, have a sound health. If you want to learn engineering, you will have to go to a school where some engineer is there to teach you. So really, this school where you are now sitting, it is a school of how to meet God. School is one where somebody is sitting who knows God, who sees God, who is competent to give others some demonstration, some capital to start with. So Satsang is a place, is a school where somebody is there who sees God, who knows God, who can also competent to give some demonstration of the God within you. Only such a school is called a Satsang. Satsang word means actually the uniting of the soul with the God pervading power which is ever existent. That only is possible when our soul is just analyzed from mind and outgoing faculties. When we know ourselves, only we are in a position to know the God who is pervading all, who is controlling all, in whom we have our living and being. So this is a school where you are attending, which is called Satsang. We have joined here to have our contact with the God within us and everywhere. That is possible only when a man, somebody is there who sees God and makes others see God. The God in man, or man in God, sees God everywhere, in everybody, and those also begin to see God in everybody. And it is the God-man who can give you contact and demonstration of the God within you and everywhere. So you are teaching through the stars when you rise above body consciousness to know yourself and then know the over-self controlling you within the body and controlling all universe under this control. So, if you want to join, to know God, we must join some school where there is somebody who knows God, who sees God, and is competent to give you something to start with, some demonstration of it, which is already within you. So, main purpose of coming to a, for instance, say, this cloth seller who sells only silken goods, you go to him and want from him iron metals, will he be able to give you? No. And if you go to a school where machinery is being sold made of iron, you see, and you want them to tell you how to know God, will they be able to give you any demonstration of that? No, not really. Similarly, when you go to a school to know God, that school is only called a school where there is somebody who has the contact with God and is competent to give you something to start with. So when you find any such place, how can you derive the full benefit of attending that school? When you go, just forget everything behind you, your heart and home, your environment, your own physical self. Be there. When you find any God in man sitting over there, just put in whole attention into his eyes, into the place, ground up, the soul up, the God in him, you see. Eyes are the windows of the soul. When the soul is just saturated with the love of God and shining with the glory of God, you see, if you look into it, become receptive, you will learn the ABC which is given without spoken words. That's the main thing. You come to a school, so much so you begin to think of him. You become, as you think, so you become. Such a man is called a Guru Mukh. He can derive the full benefit of attending the school of Satsang. So you are fortunate, those who come here, they should just forget the past and the outward environment, everything. Be here only you. And the God in man in front of you, become receptive, forgetting your body and all outward things. If your body is sitting there, your mind is roaming about outside to different things, you cannot derive the benefit of attending the school of satsang. Again, I may tell you in full and use, satsang is a school. It can be rightly called a satsang if somebody is there who has seen God, who knows God, who has gone to with God, who is inebriated with the love of God, you see, of love overflowing from him, radiating from him. That school can only be called a satsang. If you want to derive the full benefit of attending that school, for that you have to forget all your environments, all your those who are sitting around you, and even just to forget your own physical bodies. Be attentive to the God and man in front of you. That way you learn many things by radiation, by being receptive. Soul speaks to soul without spoken words. There you get two things together. One, theory also explained by spoken words, and also they given the some capital to start with. That comes through the eyes. Through the eyes of the expected one who comes to attend the school for the purpose of knowing God. Such schools are rare. There are many schools there. People are, they give us only the past history, some theory as expounded by other rishis and so forth. They might give you some quotations from the past masters, but that's only for the purpose of understanding, unless you can have some demonstration to start with, how can you derive the full benefit of it? A man comes up and gives you a wonderful talk on the subject of how the business can be run safely. Very wonderful talk he gives. But the people around him, they have got no money to start with. What will your lecture do? If you are able to give them some capital to start with, only then your lecture will give some substantial benefit to the people who attend to you. Similarly, this is a school of spirituality, how to contact with God. First, the theory is explained by reference to the old masters who came in the past, who did see God and made others see God. Son knows the Father and others whom the Son revealed. That God resides in every heart, that is the controlling power, keeping the soul in the body. He gives reference to that, to make the, those who are attending to understand what is what. But that alone won't do. There must be somebody who is above feelings, emotions, and drawing inferences. He sees God and makes others to develop an eye to enable him to see the God within him. Something to start with. I just explained to you the purpose of this school we are attending. It is a school of satsang. Contact with ever unchangeable permanence within God. For that no question how to write it to sat not required. No to basis are required. As a man you should come derived of all outer formations, badges and everything. Forget everything common again. And learn at the feet of somebody who knows God, you see, who can be competent to give you something to start with. So first thing is the theory is to be understood. Those masters who came in the past, they did see God, they did have a vision of God. They also were competent to give some thing to start with, some capital to start with, those who met, to those who met with this. That very theory is explained also now, that demonstration is, who is competent to give you some demonstration of it. So you are fortunate, I would say, you are attending a school where something to start with is given, with the grace of God, you see. But now if you want to derive the full benefit of it, what will you have to do? You will have to be receptive. That will start by following, by just by keeping commandments of the God and man, of the man and God, giving instructions, teaching about God. So for that, you see, you have come here, you are fortunate, make the best use of it. When you come, forget everything of your heart and homes and outer environments, and also when you are here, forget your body as well. Be fully receptive by looking into the eyes of the God in man. You see, I speak to sight, I speak, soul speaks through the eyes, through the soul, the other body, who are receptive. So spirituality cannot be taught but caught like infection through eyes. You are fortunate, you have such a spirit with the grace of God, but it is for you to make the best use of attending the school by attending in the way I have just explained to you. So remain in whatever cause, creed or color you are, that makes no difference, because all the same you are man first. The badges you are wearing only on the outer body. God is giving you a card, you belong to such a religion, such a such country. That makes no difference to the spiritual man, you see. You are man first, physical body, with equal rights from God above, and further you are conscious entity, You're in soul bodies. The soul has got the same, is of the same essence as that of God overhead, the opposition of all consciousness. As man you are one, as soul you are one, as worshipper of the same God overhead you are worshipper of the same one God. So when you go to love spirituality, you go to Him as a man, not as badges. The badges of your religion you are carrying. Forget everything. Attention, what He says. The soul seeks to soul, those who are receptive, they derive the full benefit of them. So something, theory precedes practice, and theory can be explained most explicitly by someone who has lived up to it. Not only by reference to the books or quotation from different scriptures, but you have seen it can give you what they have seen and enable others also to see something to start with. What they have taught, you see, born in light. You begin to have very first day some light. And they hear the voice of God and others also unable to just have some experience to become audible. Of the voice of God, this is what is given in the school of satsang. This only. I was just talking about, you see, what is love. Everybody says, I love God, I love God, man, you see, I love my master, I love this and that. But what is love? Love is the fruit of a tree, you see. It is the ultimate goal which develops, comes up within us. Whatever we start, there are other steps will lead to love. If we love with all our, you see, love God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. Heart is one or two. Heart is only one. You can only give it to somebody. If you give away your heart to somebody, then what remains to be given? You see? Then you'll think that way what he thinks. Not your own scheming or anything, nor the least, you see? This is the ultimate goal. Lord Krishna said, O my disciple, heart is only one. That Lord Krishna has taken away. Who else will love God, you see? That has already been given to the God in man. Then nothing remains to give to God now separately, you see? So first our heart should be, what you say, not broken into pieces. That should be summed up into one, you see? When it is only, I mean complete, not broken into pieces, only then you can give. Our master once, you see, in a talk, he was giving a talk, he said, already if any of you can give your heart, you just can go to heaven. One man stood up, well, I give my heart. Then so is heart in your control? Have you controlled your heart? Captain, no, then how can you give it? You can give only something which is in your control, in your possession. No, heart is led away by outgoing faculties. Here, there, everywhere. Only that is, you see, concentrated. How can you give it? We have no control over our heart. Our heart is dragged away in so many ways. So I was just talking about love, you see, that is the ultimate fruit of a fruit tree. There are steps leading to that. So first step is, we have only, we wish, you see. We like to have something. It's only liking, not only wish. Heart is given only when you withdraw it from all outside things. And it is under your control. So there are steps leading to that. What we have got now, it is only, we wish, we like, let it be done like that, you see. That is a better thing. But it is not yet done. That's the mind. So there are steps leading to that. The first step is, if you love me, keep my commandments. What are the commandments? You know? Everybody knows? Love thy God with all thy heart. The word heart is there. With all thy heart, not pieces. Any heart which is cut into pieces here, there and everywhere. So let it be complete first, you see. Only then you can hear. We love God only out of some liking or wishing, wishful thoughts. Wishful thoughts, you might say. So first thing is also he my commandment. For instance, anywhere you go, even the policeman in charge of the stop, even the president stops. That's order. If anyone whom you love, always stop. Stop there. Don't take for the step. But do we keep his commandment? No. Then where is the love? We hanker after love. We have wishful thoughts to have love. But we have not got love yet. That not even we have not laid the first stone of the building too. Foundation starts when you keep commandments. Then he says, all right, devote regular time to your meditations. Weed out all imperfection within you from day to day. We say we have got no time to keep diary. What to speak of love, you see? We have not even started it yet. Further, if you wish to have thought with somebody, love with somebody, then it is told, you see, of one Majnu. He was a great lover of one Lala, you see? She was a princess. Once he was just, you see, what, hugging and just as the feet of a dog, he was just hugging and just with the mouth he was just giving love to the dog on his face and everything. People have, what are you doing? Are you going mad? Said, no, this dog, I have seen him sometime going in the street of my Laila, whom I love, you see. If we can love even dogs, going, just walking someday in the street in which his beloved, Laila was living, if we love for somebody, for Master, say, for God, anybody who is going there, we naturally, to those who come to the Master, isn't it? We'll never find faults, criticizing. We'll just become humble, you see? And we love any, even the dogs who go there, just chat their feet too. This is a symbol that you are growing love for your beloved, you see? For your Master. Do we do? This is one of the symbols, I would say. Symptoms are symbols. To show that you are having some love for somebody. These are the foundation stones, not love as yet, my lad. Love is giving away of your heart. Heart is one. When that is given away to somebody, then what else remains? Even, I tell you, Maulana Rum says, when you accepted your Master once for all, even the Master, you see, even the Prophet and God both are there in him, you see. They are not without him, they are one in that. So our respect goes to God Once when we give where that God is manifested, is it just giving to God or anybody, you see? You understand? As I told you in the very beginning, love is the fruit of a tree. First we start with wishful thoughts, liking, to have something. By comparative, say by discrimination, you see, or by reading scriptures, whom should we love? Soul should love God, because the conscious entity, it must go to our consciousness that is natural. It has been tied to the outward world, only things. Result is, we come and go again where we are attached. So if you want to have love for God, that everybody in his, I think, to his own, from his own level of thinking, he is convinced that he is loving God. God we have not seen, God has manifested somewhere at the human pole. If we say we love him, then how the love foundation stone will start from where? By keeping his commandments. First. Second, when you love somebody, even anybody who goes there and lives there, you love him too. We criticize, we sometimes fight, even with those who are going there within themselves, then where's the love for the Master or for God? These are the stepping stones. But there is further thing, something. This is the first thing. When you grow love for God or God-man, it's one and the same thing. That you will be having, what you say, at the heart of heart you will be hankering to have him. You see? You cannot forget you would like to have somebody, the company of somebody, who talks about him. You see? His first-hand experiences, or who has been with him. That's what that comes now. Further, you would like to be just near him, as near as possible. Then even you are not there when somebody speaks of him, your heart becomes full and overflows through your eyes. You see? These are symptoms that you are having love now. Now the fruit, these are the blossoms coming up, blossom coming up, which will turn into fruit. If the rain is expected, first you will have clouds. If there are no clouds, where is the rain? Well, there are no blossoms, where is the fruit? You follow? So as I told you, love is the fruit. Everybody says, I love, I love, I love, I love. Love can be only have one idea, not two, three, four. That cannot be, heart can be split up into parts and give one here, one there, one there. Not. So as I told you, these are the steps. One, keep the commandments. Second, weeding out all imperfections. Third, devoting time to the spiritual practices. Then have the company of somebody who just reminds you of your ideal. Avoid all other company of all others in whose society you are attached to the world or forget him. You see? If you don't get such like society, better live all alone, all aloof. Live with this Master speaking through books, through scriptures. It is better there. Then further, what is the further symbol? That you are having love now near, your heart, you will feel very separation. You see? You will be hankering to see him. You always, some like even you hear of him, your whole hairs on your body will stand, you see? Sensation like you feel. And further, even when you hear of him, even then your heart becomes full and tears roll down from your cheeks. These are the symptoms showing that the fruit is nearing. These are blossoms. Ultimately, when fruit comes, you are for the Master, Master is for you. These are steps, you see. We have to now judge what we do. We cannot hear anything, you see, which is not according to scriptures, according to what God will say. Even against any prophet now, which may be carried out, you see. You follow now my point? We say love, we love God, we love our Master, this is all right. But where are the outer scriptures? How it starts? Love is only giving your heart once for all. That heart cannot be retaken and given to somebody else.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was made from two different morning talks. The first was from November 25th, 1967, called True Satsang. And the second one was from January 6th, 1968, called What is Love? Our reader this evening is Marcia Crosby.
Good evening, everyone. Today I'm going to continue reading from Spiritual Elixir Part 2, the chapter entitled Guru, His Need and Functions. It is good that meditation is sweet to you and that you long to sit for hours. Have no anxiety. Repose all your hopes in the Master and devote time regularly to day-to-day progress. The Master Power overhead is constantly working with you for your benefit. His protective hands will shadow you from all kinds of dreadful perils. Follow him. He will never forsake thee and will take you into his kingdom of glory forever. The Master is one with the Christ power and radiates the light of God through the human pole chosen by the Lord. The Master does not need the love of the disciples. He has the love of God and is love incarnate. The true Master would not attach the disciple to himself, but to the Christ power working in him. Christ said, Son knows the Father, and Father knows the Son, and all others to whom the Son reveals. All masters agree on this point. There are no exceptions to it, and one should not be led away by the statements of others. This is nature's gift, and is given free by the Master, like all other gifts of nature. Do not worry as to what may or may not happen in the near or distant future. The Master always shields his children suitably. Be unperturbed and carry on with your job. Your road is quite straight and clear. Proceed on with the loving grace of the Master. Now, being away might make you feel more lonely, but remember, you will not be alone, as the Master Power is always with you. It will be more so then. So with a well-balanced mind, free of all the fear, etc., analyze for yourself as to what it is that you really want. It took me 5 to 6 hours daily for 7 days of hard thinking to find out what exactly I wanted to do in my life. After I had decided what to do, I went in search of a master who would give me the truth. And when I found him and had accepted him as such, I gave myself up to him to do as he willed. After that, I lost all interest for self in the world, but I performed all worldly matters and duties in all sincerity. Sant, or Master, is above the three gunas. He is selfless and reveals the truth only. A true Master is a lighthouse to the world. It is a rare privilege to find one. The real ones, like wrestlers, are not made in a day, nor are they from any university. They have the experience of several past lives. Every saint has a past, and every sinner a future. Saints are experienced personalities. They have analyzed themselves, and they have realized God. And thus, they may help to put man on the same path. The true master is one who himself drinks the water of life, truth, and offers the same to others as well. He is competent to open the inner eye of the disciples so that they may see the light of God, and he unseals their inner ears so that they may hear the voice of God, the sound principle, reverberating throughout all creation. A competent master gives full instructions about the true nam or word to his disciples at the time of initiation. It is he who inspires the holy nam and makes it manifest in the initiates. He shows them that the treasure of divinity lies hidden within, and he tells them how to get in touch with it. The master is the mouthpiece of God. He is the pole at which God manifests his godhood. He has in him the refulgent light of the infinite, and he is competent to light the lamps of others. The master talks with his disciples face to face in all the planes and gives him wise counsel in times of need. Whenever one happens to be in the presence of a real master with an open mind, one finds waves of solace wafting towards him and feels an uplift surge within. His personal aura has its marvelous effect on us. His words, charged as they are with divine spirituality, sink deep into the heart of the listener and never go in vain. The unseen one uses a very selected human pole, i.e., a person who, by dint of his continued untiring and unending endeavors, unequaled in self-sacrifice and boundless love for him during life, contacts him within, becomes his conscious co-worker, and is assigned the mission of giving solace to afflicted seekers after God, to rescue them from the worries of the world, and to unite all such ones to him as his own. I did find a friend for you, a friend who is even now waiting patiently for you to turn to him. He is constantly by your side, loving you, wanting to share your life, wanting your love, your thoughts, and faith. It is you who have drawn a thick screen of various thoughts in between you and your friend. Try to remove this screen, and then you will see a friend waiting with outstretched arms to embrace you with love, to stand by you all through this life and thereafter. Do not despair. You are much loved. If only you would shed your negative attitude and be receptive, everything would be yours. He is with you always, extending all feasible help. If we turn our face to him, he will be constantly with us, perceptibly and imperceptibly. He will be talking to you, as in so many other cases in USA and abroad. The bonds of relationship between master and the disciple are the strongest in the world. Even death cannot sever them, for they are tied by the divine and omnipotent will of God. The master remains with the disciple wherever he may be. Death and distance are immaterial in the relationship of the master and the disciple. He is always by his side. here and hereafter. I am glad to note you are beginning to realize that the affairs of this earthly life are transitory, and that the life hereafter is lasting, and that we must make the best use of this earthly life and prepare for achievement of the everlasting life, which is hereafter. This is the goal before us, and if we work upwards bit by bit under proper guidance, our earthly life becomes peaceful, as well as the life which follows. Master is ever with you. He is not the body. He has a body, which is the pole at which he works to guide those stuck fast in a physical body and to help them transcend the body. Master is always helping the seekers, far and wide, and remains with them wherever they may be. You are always with me. Distance makes no difference. My love flows to you incessantly. The Master, at the time of initiation, lightens the present load so as to give the initiate some experience and warns the initiate to lead an ethical life from then on. The storehouse, as you know, holds the Sanchit Karmas, and these may be burned away with the power of Nam, when one becomes a conscious co-worker with the divine plan. A master is the mouthpiece of God, and God power in him can work wonders, including the lessening of the duration of suffering. All is dependent upon the background, the earnestness, the love, and devotion that a person will put into the spiritual practices. The divine treasures are for all, whether rich or poor. Master's loving help accelerates progress. To love, revere, and feel grateful to our fellow men is to love and revere God. So too, the love for the visible master, our closest connecting link with God, is, in reality, love for the Supreme Father. It has spirituality as an end, and is not idolatry. The atmosphere in which such a genuine master moves is charged with currents of peace and love, which affect those who come into contact with him. Even letters written by or on behalf of him carry a current of ecstasy that influence the innermost recesses of the heart. Guru precedes God. The master always speaks with an authority born of conviction, for he has a first-hand knowledge of everything, which comes from his direct communion with the universal cause or original source. Communion with the Holy Nam, the Divine Word, together with meditation on His glory, is the open sesame to the realization of the One Being. Word is the substance and the power by which all life is made. Holy Communion, with its rapturous strains, is a gift that can be attained only through a living Master. In His company, a life of holy inspiration and love of God is followed, and the inner eye is opened to see the presence of God in all things. A true master is not a mere human being, but has become one with God, and as such contains in himself the powers of all the gods and goddesses. He is verily the Word made flesh and blood. The one lesson that such a master teaches his disciples is to meditate always upon the Lord, the creator of everything, and never to forget him. The master ever remains with the devotee, wherever he may be. Death and distance are immaterial in the relationship of the master and the disciple. He is always by his side, here and hereafter. The holy sound is always present with you, and if you practice it in an accurate way, you will hear it more distinctly with the grace of the Master. At times, the disciple may have an experience of transcending the body and traversing into the beyond as a result of the reaction of past karmas while in concentration. This may also happen in sleep. The greatness of a master lies in the fact that when one meets him, he initiates him into the mysteries of the beyond and gives him first-hand experience of being born anew. And then, by regular practice, the initiate may transcend into the beyond at will and enjoy the ineffable sweet symphonies of the Word, which no ears have heard and no eyes have seen on earth. Enamoring of the sweet intoxication of the beyond makes all carnal pleasures and enjoyments lose their attraction for him. Every initiate has to be put on the way and will one day reach his true home in Satchkhand. Those who work earnestly and live according to the commandments of the Master will progress quickly, while others will take more time to reach their goal. The journey home is a long one, but a pleasant one, and when one reaches the true home, he may be selected as a master. This is, of course, a commission from God. Anybody who, after a little progress, considers that he has become a master just harms his or her own interest. This is ego and should be avoided. It is a great blessing to be under the care of a competent master, as he may steer you through the stormy sea of the world and guide you to true home. I am sorry to hear that blank has passed away. This is the way of the flesh. When one's give and take are over, he has to go. His physical body was cremated, but the soul belonged to the Master and was taken care of. Blessed are those who devote time to their meditations lovingly and faithfully and progress spiritually from day to day, so that they are able to contact, during their physical stay in the world, their radiant Master within, who is their constant companion and will take them to their true home. No one can reach or know God except through his grace. Whenever one feels a strong desire for him and strives with all his might to find a way to him, God showers his grace on such an aspiring soul, and he or she meets the living Master. God is the subtlest of the subtle, and unless we ourselves rise to that level, we cannot see reality face to face. A master soul is a conscious co-worker with the divine plan, and he works in a physical body so that those working on the physical plane may have the opportunity to contact the unseen within. He is the pole at which the higher power works and helps to bring the soul up from the physical level and opens his eyes to see that great power working within. He is the means to the end. Those who will earnestly and lovingly carry on as directed will surely have spiritual success now in this life. The master power overhead is more anxious to see his children come to him within and to enjoy the resplendent divine peace and bliss of those regions where they will be conducted by their charming and radiant master within. Let nothing come between the initiate and his or her master. The gracious master power is the constant and nearest companion of the initiate. He is fully aware of your inner prayers and adoration. Please rest assured, the gracious master power never leaves nor forsakes his children, here or hereafter. When a disciple comes near a master, The latter's atmospheric influence is felt according to the degree of receptivity developed. When he or she has grasped the theory of the teachings of the saints and has taken up the way, it may be as an experimental measure at first, and full conviction comes only when he or she sees within. The evidence of others can only give inducement to take up the way. But first-hand experience is convincing, however small it may be. It is really an inspiration in this unhappy and confused world to enjoy the guidance of the Master Power working over the head of each initiate. Like a loving father, he is always working for the benefit of his children, whether they know it or not, although at times they do know and feel it very vividly. Master takes care of and extends protection for all who are near and dear to the disciple and looks after their best interests. With the help of a competent master, the process of inversion and self-analysis becomes quite easy and natural to practice. It is for the disciple's own benefit to lead a loving, chaste, and straight life. This gives peace and helps in quick inner progress. Master is glad to see everyone behave in a proper way and to progress from day to day. You have been given the word. Please keep your face toward the Master. You will receive all necessary help and protection. The Master is always with the initiates. He resides in each one of them. He is always helping them to come within and meet him face to face. If the child comes up one step, he comes down a million steps to pick up the child. We are all laborers in the vineyard of the Lord. We should learn to appreciate the good in others. It helps us all round. Deep gratitude for the divine grace and overwhelming humility invokes his grace. Master Power is the constant companion that escorts your soul to the realms of unalloyed bliss and harmony. The gracious Master Power is your constant and nearest companion, and your gratitude is always acknowledged by him. It is the loving glance of the mother which infuses the love into the child through the eyes, whereas the latter reciprocates the same to enjoy perpetual bliss. Your growing receptivity is a happy prelude, signifying greater possibilities ahead in due course with the grace of the Master. Thus God moves as an ordinary man in disguise. As a man externally, no one can recognize him except one who contacts the Master Saint within. This is according to the divine science, i.e., the laws he has laid down for man's use. Externally, if one takes a Master Saint as an ordinary man, he can derive no benefit from him. If one accepts him as a Superman, the benefit is much more. If one takes him as all in all, the benefit becomes a truly great blessing. When he contacts the Master within, he receives all and everything. The names given by the competent Master are charged. They invoke the power of the giver. The Master is not the body, but Christ power working at the chosen human pole. The giving of five names by all and sundry, and repeating them by learning them from books, would not be efficacious. This is according to what Hazur Salan Singh Ji said, "One can give only what one possesses." It is a simple affair. Those who can be content on credit or promises may please themselves. Master always holds the hands he takes. There is never a thought of loosening that tight hold. Master power will never leave nor forsake the initiate until the end of the world. He is a fathomless ocean of love incarnate. Love knows only giving. So he gives and gives. He continually sends his grace to them. When the initiate sees the master's inner glory and charm and listens to the strain of music, he or she must respond, no matter what those who are ignorant may say. This is a gift of the master. The master is always with his initiates, working over their heads, and he is never unaware of their inner longings and feelings. He helps to wind up the karmic debts, so that they need not return for another earthly sojourn. Higher self, or over-self, is God into expression in various forms in the inner planes, of which a link has been given to the initiates in the form of the light of God and divine music. That over-self is personified in a human pole, in a master on this physical plane. The master's presence will be felt in spirit, in all satsang, and wherever else he is remembered. Sitting in sweet remembrance of the master is what it means, just as the words express, a feeling of deep-seated love naturally created within with a deep longing. The master is more anxious to meet his dear children within and is constantly sending his grace to all of them so that they may come up to him and meet him face to face. It is not correct to believe that old master will come again in person to render help to humanity. As you know, the Christ power is the same, but it works on different poles. When the Christ power works through a human pole, this one becomes a means of help to those who come to that pole with love and devotion. The initiates are fortunate to be on the way. And if they are faithful to their spiritual practices, they will be blessed. The fruit on a tree is always preceded by blossoms which eventually turn into fruit. A time factor is necessary. The master holds the disciple through thick and thin. It is the divine way. Never let faith and love in him falter. The master never leaves the disciple until the latter reaches the true home of his Father. He who resigns himself to the will of the Master places himself under the protecting power of the Master, who hastens to awaken the divinity within him. The Master never leaves the probationer, once taken over, until he takes him to God, whose prototype he is on earth. He talks face to face with his devotee and gives him counsel in time of need. He molds the disciple into the likeness of God and makes him a living temple of the divine consciousness. We love the master's things for the sake of the love of the master, for he is love and grace personified. His nearness constantly reminds us and encourages us to come closer to him. Blessed are those who have such rare privileges and benefit from him in the correct way. The master has love for all his children, and they are worthy of his grace. The master is very anxious to see them stand on their own feet and walk steadfastly on the holy path, and thereby enjoy all the peace and bliss that this journey affords them, so that they may eventually reach their true eternal home. The Master always holds his disciples in the innermost heart center. After all, they all are his children. He does not look at their unworthiness. He is there to make them worthy. He cannot leave them. His love is so great. The child disciple is always safe in the loving protection of the Master and is destined to grow stronger and stronger from day to day. And I'll stop there. Again, I was reading from Spiritual Elixir Part 2, which is excerpts from the Master's letters to his disciples. This section of the book is called The Guru, His Need and Functions.
Thank you, Marcia, for reading for us. There were 55 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So our Master tells us like that. They say you and that God power is both within this man body. And where are you? You are just identified with your world outside. Why don't you withdraw your attention from outside? He's waiting for you within you.